Good morning, family. This is the most joyful day of the year. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Let me tell you about a story that happened in the Sunday school place. A Sunday school teacher once asked her class what Jesus said, the first thing he said, when he stepped out of the tomb. A little girl raised her hand and jumping, she shouted, ta-da! Today, we find humor in that image. But in her innocence, that child discovered something vital. If Jesus had not stepped out of that grave to reveal God's victory over death, we wouldn't have a reason to be here today. The Apostle Paul explained this to the church of Corinth with remarkable honesty. And if Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation is in vain and your faith is in vain. Paul is telling us that if that tomb is not empty, this sermon is just empty words. Our songs, those who were singing a few ago, are just noise. And our hope is a house of cards. But because he is risen, our joy is authentic and unwavering, even when the world feels unstable. In today's reading, we see that the resurrection was not a quiet miracle. It was a divine disruption announced by the ground-shaking power of an earthquake. The earth trembled because the resurrection was not just a happy ending to a sad story. It was an event that shifted the very foundations of the universe. It was the moment God's future broke into our present. When the angel told the women, "He is not here, he has risen," he was announcing a new reality. For instance, consider the soldiers, symbols of Roman power. They became like dead men in the face of God's life. And there is a profound irony here. The living became like the dead so that the dead could truly live. This tells us God's power does not come with a sword. It comes with an empty grave. So, my beloved brothers, death, betrayal, or pain are no longer final. We now live in a world where even the worst experiences are not the end. This reality changes how we see one another. In our first reading, Peter experiences his own mental earthquake. Standing in the house of Cornelius, a Roman centurion, whom Peter's culture and religious laws taught him to avoid at all costs, Peter realizes, "I truly understand that God shows no partiality." This wasn't just a minor change of heart. It was the resurrection breaking down a wall of prejudice that has stood for generations. As divisions grow stronger in our own world, Easter reminds us that Jesus' message of peace is for everyone. The joy we live in today is an inclusive joy. It is a reality where God's grace is wider than our prejudices and stronger than our social divides. If Jesus can bridge the gap between life and death, he can certainly bridge the gap between you and your neighbor. But let's be honest. Even after leaving church every Sunday or some Sundays, the world often feels like Good Friday. We see conflict on our screens. We face difficult medical reports, and we carry the weight of personal stress. How do we trust God when the challenges are so loud? Let me tell you a secret. The secret lies in the difference between happiness and resurrection joy. Happiness depends on what is happening to us. Joy depends on who is with us. In today's gospel, when Jesus meets the women, he says, "Greetings." In the original language, this is a command to rejoice. So he didn't wait for them to feel safe or comfortable. He met them in their fear. Likewise, he meets us in our uncertainty today and says, "Rejoice because I am with you." Jesus' resurrection empower us to maintain an even if faith, even if the world feels chaotic. We know God is in control. Even if we face loss, even if the chair at the table remains empty this afternoon, we rest in the truth that the author of life is still holding the story. Even if we feel weak, the same power that raised Jesus brings us life today. The same hand that allows us to walk through the fire is the same hand that carries us through to the other side. When we live this faith, with this faith, we are like an orchestra preparing for the grand symphony. Before a single note of music is played, the chaos in a concert hall is overwhelming. You hear the screech of violins tuning, the discordant tremble of the brass, and the chatter of the crowd. It is a wall of noise. But then the oboe plays one clear, steady, and wavering note, a perfect A. Every other instrument, no matter how out of tune they were, must align themselves to that one note. The world outside these doors is loud with conflict, grief, and anxiety. Our job as Easter people is not to pretend the noise doesn't exist. Our job is to listen for that one note, the note of the risen Christ, and tune our hearts to it. My beloved siblings in Christ, tomorrow morning, when the news is loud, or your to-do list is so long, pause. Listen for the eighth note. Tune your life to his presence. Alleluia is our song, not because the world is quiet, but because he is risen. Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. Rejoice. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, for Jesus, for his resurrection, for the life we have in him, and we can rejoice and wait in you with patience, knowing that you love us so much that you never leave us alone. We put our lives in you. Help us in our distress or in difficult times, and please sustain us when it is necessary to continue to trust in you, because you carry us with so much love. In Jesus Christ,